So last week, we talked about stress and how to handle it, how we can deal with it. And one of the biggest forms of stress, or one of the biggest things that can stress us out more than anything else, is money. How many agree? But it's a huge thing. And I know it's an extremely sensitive subject. Today, I'd just like to share a little bit. Listen to this quote. Money is a powerful word which conjures up a number of emotions, among them lust, envy, fear, anger, hope, scorn, and disgust. Those are all things that money can just sort of conjure up in our lives. And it can affect every area of our relationship. Actually, money is the most common source of disagreements in families, whether it's husband and wife or parents and children. It can be a big disagreement. In a survey which Money Magazine did in 2014, they stated that 70% of couples argue over money. Another survey done for the Bank of Montreal in 2014 revealed that 68% of Canadians think that finances is the top reason for a divorce. In Genesis 22, verse 14, in the first half of the verse, we read these words. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." If money's the biggest issue in life, and yet Abraham says that the Lord will provide. And we talked about this a number of weeks ago, about the situation with Abraham. Abraham was to sacrifice his son, and just as he was about to do it, God said, stop. And as he looked up, there was a ram hooked up in the willows. And Abraham took the ram and said, the Lord will provide. The Hebrew words is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Abraham didn't just state the Lord might provide. He said the Lord will provide. And then we find that same kind of language used by Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul declares, And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. All his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He will provide all our needs. So if I'm reading the Bible right, if I'm really reading it right, it says God will provide all our needs, everything we need, without a doubt, whatever we need, if I'm reading it right. So I shouldn't have any problem paying my bills. But what happens when God's promise to provide all our needs doesn't seem to be working? What happens when there's more bills at the end of the month than money? Well, there can only be two reasons for that. Either God's not faithful and his promise isn't true, that he doesn't meet all our needs, or I'm not handling my finances properly. One of those things is not true. But God promised to meet our needs, but not pay all our bills. He didn't say, Scott, now that you're serving me, I will pay all your bills. I mean, that would have been nice, but he didn't say that. See, our bills can consist of things we need and also those things which are wants, those things that we could get by without. Needs are things we can't do without. They're required, they're a necessity, such as food and water and shelter and clothing. I mean, we could get by without clothing, but it wouldn't be a very pretty sight. Not in the winter. Yes, not in the winter. Thank you. So, and you know what? Sometimes we need a car. A car might be a necessity. I mean, the bus transportation between Cache Creek and Ashcroft and Clinton and Linton and Lillooet isn't really convenient. If you've got a job, it won't get you there for 8 o'clock in the morning. So we need a car. It can be a necessity. Can be a need. God provides needs. And we see that throughout the whole Bible. When Israel left Egypt and wandered around for 40 years in the desert, God provided all they needed. God provided food in the form of manna. He provided water for them, sometimes in the middle of the desert where there was no water. We read of Moses striking the rock with his staff, and the water gushed out. And you know that their sandals, it says in the Bible, they had them for 40 years, and they never wore out. I mean, you'd get tired of your shoes before they wore out. But God provided. Joseph, we know the story of Joseph. He lived with his dad and that and his brothers. And he got sold into slavery, and he wound up in Egypt. And why was he in Egypt? Because there was a huge famine coming. And there was 7 years of famine. And he became the second in charge of all of Egypt. Why? To provide food to his family. Joseph says that to his brothers. You didn't really know what was going on, but God knew what was going on. And he sent me here so that I could provide food for you. And his whole family, 70 people, are provided for. Elijah. We read in 1 Kings, Elijah winds up in the wilderness, and he winds up by a stream. God provides the stream with fresh water that he can drink, and he provides ravens to bring him food. How many would like their food brought to them by the crow? But it provided the food that he needed. We read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus, who is God, provided all that they needed at that time. The people were hungry. 5,000 people on a hillside. And he provides enough food for all of them. So we see that God provides. We noticed in Philippians 4:19, we read that. For our God provides all our needs according to his riches. Christ Jesus. He provides all that we need. If God provides all that we need, what's our issues? Well, he says that he provides all our needs, but not all our wants. If we can't pay our bills, we must examine the bills. So let's look at a few bills. How about the cable bill? God never, ever promised to pay the cable bill. Never once. I'm not saying that you can't have cable, but I'm saying that God never promised to pay that bill, because it is definitely not a need. We can get by quite well without the cable. How about car payments? Hold it, Scott. You said that we might need a car, and especially where we live, we could need a car. We might. And we probably do. But do we need the brand new Hummer all decked out to drive from Cache Creek to Ashcroft? You do? Oh, Marilyn does. But the rest of us can. I mean, we can be vehicle poor. We can be vehicle poor. We can have so much money and vehicle payment that we can't pay the bills. What about the house we're living in? Do we need a house that's 10,000 square feet? Because then we need the maid as well to clean it. I mean, our house can be a prison in our lives. It can hold us financially, and we can't pay our bills. What about groceries? Well, sure, we need groceries, just like we need a home to live in, especially in the winter, and we need a vehicle. But we need groceries. But we don't need all the prepared groceries. I mean, do we need to buy a lasagna when we can make a lasagna? Maybe two or three, cheaper. Or do we need to go out for dinner? Once in a while is okay. But if we're having trouble paying our bills, maybe that's a place where we could change things. Do we need to go to Tim Hortons every single day for a coffee? Yeah, some people, sorry, I forgot. I'm not picking on anybody, so don't sorry. Bad choice, yeah. make sure you know I'm not picking on anybody. How about clothing? Do we need the designer jeans? Or can we just use and wear the Costco jeans? Or better yet, can we buy something from a secondhand store if finances are really tight? Yeah, I bought a coat. I think I shared with you. I bought a coat from second time around. I got it for $1. And my son's looking at it going, that's a nice jacket. It's a designer jacket. It's a DC hoodie, and it's great. Kept me warm. But, you know, do we need the fancy stereo? Do we need the computer? Do we need the cell phones? Yeah, most of us need computers, and most of us need cell phones for work and that. But do we need the newest, most improved? Do I need an iPhone 10 and pay $1,300 for an iPhone 10 to upgrade my iPhone 7? No, I don't. Do we need the newest, fanciest computers? Okay, some of us do. But if we're struggling paying our bills, we need to look at the bills and what bills are we paying. See, God doesn't say we can't own anything. God doesn't say we can't have the newest computer or the newest cell phone or a cable vision or a nice vehicle. He doesn't say that. But he does say that he'll pay our needs. And so we need to look at our wants. He blesses. What happens is greed can get in. And greed is a monster. And it's a monster that wants to control us. And the more we allow it in, the more it controls and grabs and grabs and grabs. See, Matthew 6, verse 2, Jesus declares, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I know I usually leave the questions for the end of the message, but where is your heart? Is your heart focused on Jesus? Is it his and the eternal things of the kingdom of God? Or is it focused on that brand new Hummer with all its switches? Or is it focused on the 10,000 square foot house? Or is it focused on how I look to my neighbors? Is the greed changing where our heart is? See, Paul states in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." It didn't say, "For money is the root of all evil." That gets switched around too often. Money is a necessity. We can't get by without money. But the love of money, the greed for money, is a root of evil. And we can get so wrapped up with the greed and the love of money that we'll wander from the faith. 1 Timothy 6:10. Could we be trying to live on too much? Could we be trying to live on too much? The world's myth is that more is better. And as this will allow us to live comfortably, have all our needs met, and most of our wants met too. So more is better. The math of the world's myth that more is better doesn't add up in God's math class. The world would say 100% of your income minus 10% tithe to the church only leaves you 90% left to pay the rest. How can that possibly be more and better? See, God's truth is 90% gives a greater buying power than 100%. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but we don't live in the natural. We live in the spirit. And it works every single time. Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, reveals these words. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. We can live under a curse. We can use the 100% and be under the curse because we've robbed God of what's rightfully His. I mean, it's all rightfully His, the whole 100%. And He just asks us to give tithes and offerings. And we can rob God. And why do we think that 100% of finances that we have that lives under a curse would be greater than the 90% after we give the tithe that lives under a blessing? I would rather live under the blessing of God than under the curse of God. Oh, but hold on. Hold on, Scott. You've misinterpreted the Bible. Tithing is part of the law. And we don't live under the law. We are New Testament Christians. The law is, Jesus fulfilled the law. Let me enlighten you, if that's what you think. For tithing actually started 400 to 500 years before Abraham, before the law even came into effect. Tithing was around. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek 400 to 500 years before the law stated that tithing, you were supposed to tithe. Giving is a principle of God that we read throughout the Bible. Now, I've shared this with you before, most of you know, and so I'm just going to quickly share it again. When I started to tithe, when I got saved at the age of 28 and I started to tithe, we had huge personal debt. And you know, from the time we tithe, we never missed one payment. Never once. I was laid off for a number of months. The sawmill had shut down, and I was laid off, and God supplied all we needed. We made our car payments. We made our house payments. Everything. We had food. We had food to give away, actually. Well, Scott, I've tried the tithing thing, and I still struggle with my bills. Well, let's continue on and see what that might look like, why that might be. Let's continue to examine this world's myth that more is better. See, some spend all their time searching for more, dreaming for more, scheming to get more, and spending to get more. But many try to fulfill the dreams of getting more. We can do it by winning the lottery. That'll do it. We can win the lottery. I saw a 2013 report which stated that 48% of Americans actively play the lottery. So just about one out of two people actively play the lottery. It's interesting to note that it's said that 72% of those people don't believe they'll ever win the lottery. So I'm thinking, why are you spending your money? And when you have big lotteries like the Lotto Max is at $65,000 or whatever it gets to, or the Powerball thing that gets up to 400 and some odd million. Yeah, millions I'm talking about. Sorry, we're out of the thousands are big for me. When we get to the million, 66 million with the Lotto Max and that, more people play. Up to 85% of people will play. So 72% believe they won't win, but if they did, 71% stated they would pay off their bills, they would pay off their debt. But you're spending money you don't have because you got debt to try and win money to pay off the debt, but you don't think you're going to win, so you're going to go further and further in debt. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I read over 10 years ago that 15% of people believe lottery winnings would supplement their retirement. Oh, wow. Now I'm taking my retirement money and putting it into the lottery in hopes that when I win, that I'll be able to retire. Maybe that's the mistake I made. Just so you know, well, I'll tell you that in a minute. Lottery companies are not here to make you rich. They're not here to make you a millionaire. Do you know that the British Columbia Lottery Company in 2014 to 2015 made $1.25 billion in profit? Wow, that's a lot of bills that could have been paid. Yeah. So, let me tell you, because you might see me, I have to be up front here. I don't buy lottery tickets. I've never bought a lottery ticket since I've been saved. Anyhow, I've been saved for so long now, I can't remember if I bought lottery tickets before. They probably weren't around. No, they didn't come on the ark. But we get two of Kathy's sisters send us lottery tickets for our birthday, for our anniversary, and for Christmas. So we do scratch lottery tickets. The first time I had to go to my boss at Home Hardware when I lived in Chase and ask her, what do I do with this? I don't want to wreck it. Well, I mean, if I'm going to win 10 grand and then I find out that I would have won 10 grand, but I scratched it all wrong. So we do win once in a while, like $1, $2, $5. I think we might have won 10 once. And I go to cash them in. This is just humorous. I go to cash them in, and the lottery guy goes, yeah, you've won $6. And he looks at me, and he keeps looking at me. And finally, I have to say, may I please have my $6? I'm going to take my wife for a donut or something. You know, I want my money. I'm not buying lottery tickets. I'll just lose the money. Boy, this message is going way too long. Anyhow, just so you know, if you ever see me with a lottery ticket, it's not because I bought it. It's because it was given to me. And if I win the big lottery, I'll tithe on it. So on some other people believe the way to get more is to just by using their credit cards, their line of credit, or getting a bigger mortgage on their home. On March the 25th, 2017, Globe and Mail published that Canadian debt was 162.6% of a person's disposable income. In other words, if I make $3,000, the debt I'm carrying is like $5,000 or whatever. I didn't work it out. I'm not a mathematician. Mr. Cram's not here to help me out. What? 60% overdrawn. Yeah, 60% overdrawn. So if I get $10, if that's my salary, I get $10. I get more than that. If I get $10, my debt is $16. How does that work? How are you ever going to pay off that? Those people are living in debt and probably will never, ever pay it off. Yet, we still have those bills. Listen. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 13. Verses 7 to 8, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. That's the pits. Paul didn't know what he was talking about. No. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding. Except the continuing debt of love to one a love to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. We as Christians have an obligation to pay our debts, to pay our bills. So I'm going to try and go through this the rest of this really quick because I don't know what time I got up here, but I just got a feeling. If we are living on too much, if we're living on too much, if we're trying to live on the 100%, or maybe we're trying to live on the 90% because we're paying our tithe, but we're trying to live on our a way over budget, what do? Well, we may need to manage our money better because God is faithful. God's promises are yes and amen. He will provide all that we need. Pay the bills for the need. It is about managing what we have, God's money, better. Where does it all go? That's the first thing we have to ask ourselves. Where does all our money go? When I first got married to Kath, we went on our honeymoon. We drove across Canada to Ontario. Well, I guess that's not all the way across Canada, but we drove to Ontario. We visited her one of her grandmas, and I was blown away. We were there. Every penny she spends gets written down in a book. If she buys a loaf of bread for 25 cents, every single thing she spent her money on, I thought, that's interesting. I should probably do that. But I didn't because I got myself way in debt until after I came to know Jesus. But when I came to know Jesus, I started doing that. And it's amazing what you'll reveal to yourself just for 1 month or 3 months. The trouble is, if you do it for 1 month, you're really careful of what you spend your money on. But if you do it and you just write down, you know, I spent $5 going to Tim Hortons on Monday. A week later, $5 going to Tim Hortons. A week later, oh, I was in Kamloops. It was $8.95 because I went to Starbucks. And I'm getting bigger and bigger and bigger because I don't drink coffee. All I do is eat donuts at those places. You know, but it's interesting. You get to the end of the month and you go, oh, I spent $150 just going to fast food restaurants. Or I spent $500 going out for dinner at fancy restaurants. It's amazing. Or I spent whatever, on designer clothes. All of a sudden, you get to see the big picture where your money's going. We need to do that. where is the money going? Then we need to make a budget. We need to make, I hate making budgets. Budgets mean I can never live up to the budget because the money I bring in doesn't add up to the money that goes out. A budget isn't living on less. It means doing more with what you have. The budget needs to be simple, realistic, and clear. So, you have a budget in your bulletin. If you don't, there's probably extra bulletins that have budgets in them. Just quickly, all you need to do is fill out your income, your spouse's income, any other income you have. Have your total income. You know what you've got. And then you start on your expenses. We have a tithe. That should be the first thing that comes off. We have rent or mortgage. How much is that? How much is our utilities each month? How much is our phone, our land, our cell phone? How much is our insurances? How about a car? Do we have loans? So, do we have a loan for a car? A loan for a home improvement? Do we have personal loans? Credit cards. How much do we have to pay on them? We're not going to pay them all off in one shot, I guarantee you, unless you play the lottery. Won't, because you won't win. How about transportation? How much fuel do you need for a month? How much maintenance do you need? How much insurance? How much food for your home and that, and your clothing and other expenses? List them all out. And savings. And then your expenses need to be less than your income coming in. So you might only be able to pay the minimum on your bills for a while. After we have a budget, prioritize your spending. Obviously, part of the budget does that. Pay God first. Pay your bills. Buy food. Don't starve yourself, but be reasonable. Buy clothes. Save. Treat your family or yourself. You know, if you never treat yourself, you have to have a bit of money there once in a while to treat yourself. Because if you don't treat yourself, it's just too big of a work. It's just like if you go on a diet, you got to break the diet once in a while. You got to eat a donut at least once a month. I like donuts. I like donuts. Actually, I could even say I might have an addiction to donuts. So I stay away from Tim Hortons. No. Okay. So once you've prioritized your spending, pay bills on time. Don't pay interest if you don't have to. Here's the biggest thing. Don't ever buy today, but don't make any payments until 2000 and whatever. It's a farce. If you don't have the money today, what makes us think that we're going to have the money in 2022? We're not going to. Because we're just going to keep spending. Because that's an issue. Don't get in buy now, pay later plans. Cut your credit cards up if they're a problem. If you can't handle a credit card, then cut it up and throw it away. We did that. When we first were in problems, we did that. We have a credit card now. We have a couple of them. We pay them off. Actually, American Express probably doesn't, I don't even know if my American Express card works. I haven't used it for so long. But we pay them off each month. The bank hates me. They never earned my, I haven't paid banking fees for years. I just turned 65, but for years. Do you know if you bank at President's Choice at Superstore, there's no banking fees. You can pay your bills online. There are no fees. The Royal Bank asked me, why do you have your house mortgage with us and you don't pay any bills with us? Because you charge me banking fees to pay my bills. I don't have to pay $7 a month. I'm frugal, they say. I'm cheap. I'm not paying interest if I don't have to. It all adds up. Start paying off your bills. So if you've got a bunch of bills, You need to make the minimum payment at least every month on those bills and take the one that's the lowest and start paying extra money on it if you can. And eventually that bill will be gone. And then take the next lowest and start, take that money that you were paying on that bill and turn it over onto the next bill. And eventually you will have no more bills. Maybe just a house payment. Set goals. Set short-term goals. Pay off a bill. Maybe save some money to buy some furniture or entertainment equipment. That's how you get the wants. You save for it. You don't rob God. You don't rob the people you owe money to. And save, maybe save a certain amount of money. If you talk to financial people, they'll say, hey, have 3 to 6 months of salary saved in an account in case you get laid off and or something happens, you're sick or something. Have long-term goals. Long-term goal, maybe to buy a car. Save enough money to buy a car or save enough money for a down payment on a home. Maybe even save enough money for a trip. I don't have time to tell you because we're way over time. I tell you about my Disneyland trip and our Disneyland dog, how we saved for that. The truth is, God said he would provide all our needs. If he will provide all our needs, there is enough money there to pay all the bills that are needed. The problem becomes that we aren't managing our money well. Do we have bills we shouldn't have? Are we living on too much? Really, are we living on too much? Are we robbing God? Are we robbing our creditors? Are we living on a line of credit and credit cards? What steps will we take to allow God's blessing on our finances? I'm sure we all want God's blessing on our finances. What steps will we take? Maybe you can't pay a 10% tithe right now. Maybe you just go, you know what, Pastor? I can't do that. I can't step out. That's a huge step for me. I can't step out there. Then just pay 2% or 5%. Start small. Test the Lord in the finances. He will prove to you over and over again that it works. We just need to start small and then watch God bless.